find, if you would, the 10th chapter of the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter number 10. While you're finding the book of Revelation chapter 10, which your Bible should almost open to already with the book of Revelation, find, if you would, Daniel chapter number 12. Revelation chapter number 10. Daniel chapter number 12. I want to preach to you this morning from this 10th chapter. It's not a long chapter. Don't get excited. That doesn't translate for a short message. Just kidding you. But I do believe it's very powerful and very pertinent to our life and our life as a church. Verse number 1, if you would. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. A rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. What a description. He had in his hand a, would you say those two words, please? Little book. Underline it. So important. So important. The whole chapter is about the little book. He had in his hand a little book. Notice it's open. He set his right foot upon the sea, his left foot upon the earth or upon the land. And he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. When the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, John says. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. The angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever. I have that phrase underlined in my Bible. I would encourage you to do it as well. Who created heaven? The things that therein are, and the earth, and the things that therein are, and the sea, and the things which are therein, that there should be, say those three words please, time no longer, highlight, circle, underline, what an announcement. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, I'll show it to you, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. I have that underlined as well. As he hath declared to his servants, the prophets, the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel, and I said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it, and eat it up. It shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand, and I ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. As soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Where are we, Pastor? Take your ink pen once again and put a parenthesis around the words chapter 10. You did this earlier in chapter number 7, the heading to the chapter. We find ourselves entering now into the 10th chapter, a parenthetical part of the book of Revelation. It will go for about 4 chapters. Where do we find ourselves in the timeline of the book of Revelation? We're making our way now to about the middle of the week, almost to that changing moment there where the Antichrist is ready to be indwelt by Satan himself, where there's about to be the entrance and the abomination of desolation, what Daniel is talking about. Remember, we began a journey back in chapter number 6 with the seven seals that were to be opened up in the beginning of this tribulation period. We know that we're talking about this 7-year period after the rapture of the church. We're talking about a time when God is taking vengeance upon the earth in judgment against unrighteousness. We're talking about that 7-year period of time that is preparing the earth and ready to receive the millennial kingdom of Christ that will be coming. We understand that as these seals were unfolded and opened from that book, that we read 6 of them, bam, 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 in succession. And then all of a sudden, before the 7th seal, God gave us a parenthesis, a chapter to breathe, a chapter to rejoice, a chapter to celebrate. For our God is great, and he's greatly to be praised, and our God is a God of salvation. Not only in our life, but he will be throughout the tribulation period. I don't know about you, but I thank God that I'm saved. And there will be others in the tribulation period that will come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. After chapter number 7, and we got that glimpse, then in chapter number 8, the 7th seal was opened. The 7th seal would be like a firecracker, the Bible scholars kind of write about. Sometimes you go and you watch fireworks, and one firework will shoot up in the air and it will explode. And then out of that comes another one that explodes and unfolds. Well, the 7th seal has within it the 7 trumpets of God that the angels will be blowing upon the earth. Last week, I preached to you 6 of those trumpets as we saw what would be unfolding. And the reality of that, or the purpose of that, was to bring the earth and all of the inhabitants of the earth to the point where there would be an allegiance behind one man. There needs to be an allegiance behind one man for God to finish his work of judgment upon the earth. And so as we saw those first 4 trumpets unfold, and we had hail and lightning, and we had the waters being touched, and we had the skies moving. And then that 5th trumpet, you remember that angel opened up that bottomless pit, and those demonic disembodied spirits came out of there, and they possessed men. They were not allowed to kill men, but they possessed men for 5 months upon the earth. We know that as they did that, mankind and humanity, so possessed and so tormented, would seek death. And the Bible said at that time, they won't be able to find death upon the earth. The 6th trumpet blew, and we know that, and there was the calling of those spirits out of that river Euphrates. Those 4 demons, you can find them in the Old Testament in Daniel chapter number 10. They've always been there hindering the work of God. They've always been there trying to destroy the nation of Israel. Those 4 demons come out of that river, and they lead a worldwide war that will take place. The Bible says, or Bible scholars tell us, that by the time you get done with the 6th trumpet, at this point in time, half of the world's population is gone from the time that we know it right here and there. And so we understand that war that takes place, many Bible scholars believe it will involve Russia, it will involve China, it will involve the Muslim and the Islam culture there. Pastor, will America be? Most of the Bible scholars feel like the Antichrist will very easily, with those ten nations, eliminate the United States of America. Most Bible scholars that you read now refer to us being gone away very simply because of the debt that we owe. I don't know that to be true. It sounds biblically true, for the Bible says the borrower is servant to the lender. Somehow we go away and we don't have much to say about it. Or we come under authority on that prayer. I don't care. I won't be here. I do care because I love my nation. But we find ourselves at that 6th trumpet at that point in time. As you come to the end of chapter number 9, you sense the entrenchment of evil upon the earth. Look, if you would, at verse number 20. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of their works of their hands, that they should not worship the devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, of their sorceries, which are drugs, or of their fornication, nor of their thefts. And so you understand that lines have been drawn. Following that sixth trumpet, God nestles out once again a parenthesis. Now let me tell you what a parenthesis is about in the book of Revelation. Here's what it does not do. It does not advance the narrative. All that it does is helps fill in what is happening behind the scenes, what is happening, what God is doing and what Satan is doing and how that is unfolding and how God is using these things. So we'll need that when we get to chapter 11, chapter 12, chapter 13, and chapter 14. And so we find ourselves in this parentheses. Pastor, are the parentheses important? My friend, every word in the Bible is important. Okay? So we need to understand what happens. John gets a vision, very famous vision in the Bible colleges, preacher boy classrooms, students of the Bibles, Bible studies, churches, studies about the Revelation. Who is this angel? What is this little book that he's holding in his hands? Why does the little book, as John asked to eat the little book, why is the little book sweet in John's mouth, but as soon as he swallows it, his stomach is bitter? What is being communicated here, Pastor, for our understanding? Oh my goodness, is there for our understanding? When John sees the angel, he begins to describe him as another mighty angel. There's a description of him in verse number 1. He's clothed with a cloud, a rainbow's upon his head. You've heard some of these words before, as John has seen what goes on around the throne of God in heaven. His face was as it were the sun, his feet as the pillars of fire. Notice, if you would, in verse number 3, when he cries with his voice, it's like the sound of a lion roaring. Matter of fact, the response is so strong back that seven thunders utter their voices in response. We see that the angel that John is seeing descends down, and he takes one foot and puts it on the land, and another foot and he puts it on the sea. So John sees him there strong. He sees them there beautiful. He sees them there descriptive. He sees him with one foot on the land, one foot on the water. And John notices in one hand he's got a little book. He notices also, if you would please, look at verse number 5, that the other hand is lifted up to heaven. John then hears the angel voice. Verse number 6. The angel swear by him that liveth forever and ever. He goes on to add to the description of who he's swearing to, that this one that liveth forever and ever is also the one that created everything. Hold your hand here. Go back to chapter number 1. Come on, you'll love this. You should know this. It should be going through your mind right now. Matter of fact, you should be able to find the verse without me even telling you. Pastor, that's unfair. Verse number 17. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. He laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that, say it, liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive, how long, class? Forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. Who is this angel? I don't know. I know this is what Bible scholars tell us. Some believe it's Gabriel. Some believe him to be an angel. Some believe it to be the person of Christ themselves, or Christ himself, based on the description. I'm not necessarily so sure that I'm going to, remember, we talked about sensationalism here. I'm not going to go down that path, but I do know a couple of things about the angel that I can preach to you. I know that whether he be Gabriel or whether he be the Lord Jesus, he comes with the enablement of all authority. If it's Gabriel, then he swears by him that liveth forever forever and ever, and that person is Jesus Christ. If it is Christ himself, then he has the ability, for all authority has been given unto the Lord Jesus. What you need to know about the strong angel is the authority that he brings. And when he brings his authority, he puts one foot on the land, one foot on the sea. Think about what is going on. The land is convulsing because of the work of God. Not only what God's direct hand is doing, but what he's doing through demonic work that God is controlling. Billions are gone. The sky has changed. The land is in upheaval. Not only is the land in upheaval, but the sea is in upheaval. One third of the creatures have already been killed. The ships have been destroyed. I don't know if you've ever been on the ocean when it's in upheaval, when those waves are crashing in. But my friend, it is terrifying to be on the water when it's in upheaval. To these two events comes the strong angel and puts his feet on each one of them, symbolizing that there is no authority greater than the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no power greater than the Lord Jesus Christ. And the fact that there is convulsion on the land and the sea is evident that it is Christ that is in controlling that. Oh, Daniel said to Nebuchadnezzar, that thou mayest know that there is a God in heaven. I submit to you, that God that sits in heaven, that sits on that throne, is the God that sits on the throne of my heart. His name is Jesus Christ. And the Bible goes on to say that, to testify that he's also the great creator of all things. This is why evolution is a sin. It's a sin. Pastor, I believe in evolution that denies the deity of Jesus Christ. You cannot believe in evolution and not deny the deity of Christ. Well, I believe that God can use evolution. Yeah, God can use anything he wants, but God said that he did not use evolution and he created it with his voice. Your pastor is preaching to you the truth. You better not let evolution get a hold in your home. You better not believe it. It is against the Bible. You let your children believe in that. You are letting them go in a direction against the Word of God. When it all comes crashing down, the authority of God will be revealed in the one who created the world. Well, I just believe the world happened. Then you deny Jesus. Well, I don't believe that Jesus created, then you deny that. Well, I believe in, that denies the authority of the Bible. You're welcome. I don't get paid for that one, but God told me to say it. By the way, I didn't say that at 8:30, so somebody out here is an evolutionist. That's how I look at that. You need to repent of that. Let me pause and say something else. Thank God for the school ministry we have in our church. Amen. Mom and dad, you can have your kid in a public school. Good people in a public school. Great people in a public school. But our nation has chosen education in a public direction that denies the deity of Jesus Christ as God the Creator. I am telling you as your pastor, you better not neglect that in your kid. Ask your kid if he's an evolutionist. The authority is so important in this moment because an announcement's coming. If you look at verse number 6, the announcement that the angel makes is that there's time no longer. Pastor, does that mean that there will be no more time at that point as far as hours and minutes? No, that's not what it means. Here's what it means. There's no more delay. When the angel shows up and he steps down and he makes this announcement to John, the announcement is that there is no longer going to be a delay. A delay, Pastor? A delay in what? Oh, I was hoping you would be curious. Look, if you would, at verse number 7. But in the days of the voice of the, say those two words. Okay, now take your hand and flip your Bible page just to chapter number 11 and look, if you would, at verse number 15. Let the Bible commentate on the Bible. And the, say those two words, seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the people of God should say, amen. That's the millennial kingdom of Christ. When the seven trumpet blows, it is announcing that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of Christ. And it's always been prophesied that way. You go back to Daniel and that statue, that stone not made with hands comes out of the sky, smashes that foot, and the kingdoms of the world temper down to the ground. Oh, listen, we're on the winning side, baby. We're on the winning side. The angel shows up and says, no more delay. From the sixth trumpet to the seventh trumpet, it's on, baby. What does that mean? That means now God is moving to bring the kingdoms of the earth to himself. And what we will begin to see now is all the behind the stage of that. It's so interesting that he says, but in the days of the voice, in verse 7, of this angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. That which was declared to his servants and his prophets. Let's talk about this. Mystery in the Bible is not something that's a whodunit. Mystery in the Bible is just something that's been concealed. Now, there are many mysteries in the Bible. The one that we know very well in this day is the mystery of the church. This cannot be what he's talking about. In the Old Testament writers, they didn't understand that gap that God would put forth between that last week and those 69 weeks. They didn't understand about the day in which you and I live in, this day of grace. They were under this day of law and of prophets and all of that. They didn't understand how God was going to notch out a church and bring all the families of the earth to a position to be blessed. They wrote about it, but they didn't understand it. By this time in the book of Revelation, the church mystery has been finished. We've been raptured. Okay, so he's not talking about that. So what mystery then would God be talking about here when he sets up the kingdoms of the earth to become his kingdom? I'll tell you exactly what mystery it is. It's the mystery of every why question you've ever asked in the world. It's the mystery of why, God, would you allow the devil to do what the devil has done? Why, God, did you not just destroy the devil when he sinned in heaven? Why didn't you just annihilate him? God, why did you allow such evil upon the earth? God, why did you allow for all of this chaos and murders and sorceries? God, if you're truly God, why didn't you do it different? Okay. God says this in this chapter. When you go into the millennial kingdom, by the way, we will go, those of us that know the Lord. You will then see me. You will see how it has all unfolded. And as you look and see how all has unfolded upon the earth, why that Satan was able to do what he was able to do, why men were able to do what they were supposed to do, why there was all of this going on, you'll realize it and it will all be made known and you will give me glory. Why is that important? Here's why that's important. Because we have people on the earth now who say this, I don't want your Jesus. Don't you dare give me your Jesus. I hear this all the time. I will not believe in your Jesus. Sometimes they'll even say your GD whatever. There's no way I can receive a God who's allowed this evil. Who's allowed this wickedness? There's no way. If there's a God, then why is there such injustice? Why is there such evil? Why is there such mistreatment? If there's a God, I'm not believing in that God. Okay. Right. But when you stand before him and you're brought out of hell to do that, you will realize you were wrong, not him. You will realize that he's holy and perfect and sinless. And you are a created being. See, this is why evolution is so dangerous. Evolution teaches you to exempt from creation. If you're exempt from being created by God, then you hold no allegiance. You hold no responsibility to God. If you just evolve, then you hold with allegiance within yourself. But my friend, humanity was created by God. Humanity has a responsibility to God, and humanity will stand before God. And as we think that we have no responsibility to God, then we use our own opinions to judge what's going on in the world. My friends, we are limited in our understanding, created in our being. We don't know half or a quarter of what's going on, except what the Bible tells us. And here's what the Bible tells us. Our God is perfect. Amen. The one thing about hell, it's different than earth. Your memory will be perfect. Pastor, I can't even remember anything now. Well, that's going to get fixed as soon as you die. What do you mean by that? Well, if you go to heaven, you'll be like Jesus. If you go to hell, Jesus himself said you'll be able to remember your life. When people stand before God and they want to bring up the evil of this world, here's what the angel said. When that trumpet blows and the kingdoms of earth have become the kingdoms of God, we will realize he was right. He's the living God. He's perfect. And we will reckon everything he has done, and we will cry out and give him glory. So John says, the angels made this announcement. He's letting us know what's going to happen. But there's one description in the angel's hand. There's this little book. You're going to find that this little book is so important to John in his life. Verse number 2. The Bible says, and he had in his hand a little book. It was open. And that's all the Bible says about it until John is told what to do. John is told in verse number 8 to go and get the book from the angel. In verse number 9, the angel tells John, I want you to eat the book. Now, you need to believe, you need to understand what eating was in the Bible. Eating was symbolic to believing and receiving. This is where people get mixed up when it comes to communion. Jesus said to them back then, he that eateth and drinketh, you must eat and drink my blood and my body. And they took it as literal, but it was symbolical. Eating and drinking is a way that I consume. It's a way that I understand. It's a way that I receive. John was told to eat the little book. The angel told him, now, John, when you eat, the book's going to taste good. When you swallow it, you're going to have bellyache. John says, well, I went and I took the book just like I was told. But man, to be honest with you, I ate that thing. It tasted like honey. As soon as I swallowed it, my belly was bitter. What's the little book, Pastor? Okay. Some Bible scholars want to say that the little book is the Bible. Might be. Some Bible scholars want to go all the way back to chapter number 5, and they want to say that it's part of that sealed book. But that book was big. I want you to go to Daniel chapter 12. I think I'll show you where I find a Bible commentary on what this little book is. Don't miss this. You ought to write Daniel 12 down. I think you'll find the wording of this to be powerful. Daniel chapter 10, Daniel's receiving a vision here from the angel Gabriel. In Daniel chapter 10, we understand that God is giving him a vision about the end times of his people. Verse number 1 of chapter number 12, here's what the Bible says. And at that time shall Michael, that's the archangel, stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. He is the defender of Israel. Verse number 1 of chapter 12, and there shall be a time of what? Trouble. Now, anytime we refer to a time of trouble in the nation of Israel, we're talking about the great tribulation, which is the 3.5 years at the latter part of the tribulation. There shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered. Many of them, verse 2, that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. He goes on in verse 4, he says, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words, seal the book, even to the time of the what? End. Now, we've got that phrase back in Revelation chapter 10. There shall be time no longer. He's dealing with this same part here. Watch how far the symbolism goes here. You've heard these words before. Look, if you would, at verse number 5. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, one on this side of the bank of the river and on the other that side of the bank of the river. One said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand, his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever. We've read this. That it shall be for a time, times and a half. 1 year, 2 years, half a year, 3.5 years. When he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? That's where O my Lord came from, by the way. And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. He goes on to talk about the abomination of desolation. What are we talking about here? I think we're talking about the same little book in Revelation chapter 10. This is the little book. These are the words that Daniel was given. And Daniel was told that, Daniel, there's coming a time when I'm going to deliver your people. But prior to my deliverance of your people, they're going to have trouble. Daniel read that and God said, don't you dare write it down. Don't you dare seal it up. I think that angel's standing there. And he's got that book, and it's a little book, not insignificant. God does nothing without significance. Praise the Lord. He's got this little book, which means there's not left much to do. And Daniel takes that little book, and he eats that book. Sweet in his mouth, bitter in his belly. What does Daniel understand, or what does John understand? John understands the same thing Daniel understood. There is coming a day when the Lord Jesus is going to right every wrong. He understands there's coming a day when the nation of Israel is going to be redeemed in one moment, in 1 hour. But when John understood what was in that little book, and he understood what it was going to take to get to that moment, it made him sick. It made him belly bitter. I feel in my spirit a pressing for time, but I'm going to slow and I just need to make some points. I hope you believe God hates sin. I'm not sure we understand how much God hates sin. When God judged my sin upon the Lord Jesus that day at the noon hour, he put him on the cross at 9 o'clock. At 12 o'clock, I believe the Father began to unload on the iniquity of my sin. It's from 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock that you hear Jesus say things like, my God, why hast thou? What did God do at 12 o'clock before he started punishing his son? What did he do to the lights? Shut them off. He didn't let anybody see what he was doing to his son. I think that's understanding because we don't understand what it took for God to judge sin. And I don't think that we understand what it's going to take in the future for God to judge sin. And God has withheld some of what he's doing. But when it unfolds in that tribulation period, and the wrath of God has unfolded in vengeance against sin upon the earth, my friends, you don't want to be here. Amen. Daniel, or John said, when I saw what was going to happen, I was glad that there was victory, but it was coming at a great price. Okay, let me close. Pastor, make this applicable to my life. Okay. Do you believe there's a heaven? Amen. Do you believe there's a hell? Amen. Do you believe that the only way to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we understand the events that are coming? What are we doing about it? Where's our bellyache? Where's our burden? Who did you tell about Christ this week? Who did you pray for? Listen, John got such a burden for what was going to happen that he couldn't hardly stomach it. I think it's so important that churches like ours get a bellyache for people that need the gospel. we need to get burdened about this. We know the truth. We have the answer. Do you understand if your child doesn't get saved, what's going to happen to them? Do you understand what happens if your spouse doesn't get saved? Pastor, I'm praying. I'm doing all I can. Great. You're doing wonderful. You pray. Your prayers will outlast your life, and you can claim their salvation, and I believe God will give you their salvation. But those of us that are doing nothing need to listen and understand that God is going to avenge that evil. It's time for the church to be what God wants us to be. Now we're ready for the message of the song. Would you please, Brother Rod, listen to every word and listen very carefully.
Others may see the beauty and presence of your love in one who was blind but now believes. Be here in my heart, flow through my blood, strengthen my soul and wash me clean. A living example of what your grace has done. I will walk beside you. I give you my life. And when others seek to find you, may I be the light that shines. Be here in my hand. Give me your touch. Use me to comfort and to build shelter for those who need your love. My lips, so I may speak, echo your truth and living words. Lord, make me all that I can be. I will walk beside you, Jesus. I give you my life, and when heart, flow through my blood, strengthen my soul and wash me clean. Lord, make me all that I can be. Lord, please make me all that I can.
Trying to get us to do is understand life is great, a lot of things to be enjoyed, but we must have a spiritual focus in our life. We must have an understanding of what God wants for us to do. And our preeminence ought to be the person of Jesus Christ. Christian, you ought to have a holy life, that your light may shine, that others could see the Father in you. I trust that you're living a life like that. Shall we pray?